Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
Two areas in Coburg started a Neighborhood Watch pilot program recently to boost safety. One is in the East End, and the other is in the West End. It is the culmination of several months of work by residents in collaboration with the Coburg Police. Neighborhood Watch is a program in Canada dating back to the 1970s. Originally, it was a grassroots effort to reduce burglaries in residential homes. In the 1990s, the program took off. It can be described as simply as neighbors looking out for neighbors. In today's interview with Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff, you will learn it is much more. Beyond the safety and protection of property, you will hear how police are working with homeowners to educate and engage people to address concerns. You will also hear about some early successes. With so many people concerned about public safety, have a listen and see if you think this is part of the solution.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks very much for having me once again, Rob.
Before we get into what is happening locally, can you tell us in general, what is Neighborhood Watch?
Yeah, generally, this is a great old-fashioned program from my days when I started policing 35 years ago. And really what this boils down to is nothing more than neighbors taking care of neighbors. And they kind of structure it under a crime prevention moniker, if you will. And I think everyone's familiar with the Neighborhood Watch signs. And they're very, very easy to notice by lots of people.
For those who might not be familiar or understand, what does it mean to be neighbors watching neighbors? Tell us what that means.
Really what it is neighbors, good neighbors working together. Like, very few people are in a position today where they're kind of always at home. Obviously, we have with working families, we have two people out there working, we have kids at school, and with a senior active population, we have people going away on holidays, we have volunteerism, and all of the great things that makes community strong. So what happens is when our houses are less occupied, it is obviously a more welcoming target to would-be thieves and people who would want to break in. So by creating a neighborhood watch, it's that group of neighbors coming together to make sure that when they know someone's away, or when they know that there's something's out of the norm from Paul down the street, that they would start taking care for each other. And really what it is it's a community driven desire. Like, this was not something that we put out there. This was two great people in our community in Coburg, out of a town hall meeting, felt that the neighborhood watch idea would be something that would be advantageous for them.
Now, this must happen informally all the time, all around. What's the difference between a sort of informal thing where you kind of knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, you know, I'm going away for 2 weeks, could you mind keeping an eye on the house, versus neighborhood watch?
Well, when it's driven from the community up like this one is, really the role for the police is somewhat minimal, and not unlike the informal systems that exist in a street that I live in. Everyone's taking care of each other, knows each other's business. Really what we do is we work with the group. So once they're established and they have a group of neighbors who want to participate, we start sharing information. We'll share local crime tents. We'll offer crime prevention tips, our crime prevention through environmental design audits. Our team will get out there. But the key thing is we have a liaison officer attached to the community group, and we're providing real-time feedback. We're not engaging in the misinformation that exists in a lot of other areas. This is pure information, pure collaborative opportunities to share information.
Before we get into some of those details you've mentioned, how is this different than, say, community policing or block parents?
Sure. Well, community policing is an overall umbrella, if you will. So community policing really is a moniker from the mid-90s that talked about how police should engage with the community. Block Parents is another program. Block Parents is an old program as well, where children who were walking in a community where they felt afraid or they felt unsafe, if the Block Parents sign was in the window, a child could know they could go to that house and feel safe. Obviously, in the changing social times, I'm not so sure that would be something that we would necessarily want to get involved in. But with the Neighborhood Watch, it is just, again, it's that grassroots, organic, community-driven opportunity for a more structured community crime prevention approach.
So this is a pilot Neighborhood Watch program, and it's been set up in two local neighborhoods. Which are the two local neighborhoods?
Yeah, we have an east and a west, just by good luck, better than good management. But the Ravensdale community is in our west, and the Meredith Crescent area is in our east. And we've got two block captains, if you will, who are out there really kind of mustering support. And they supported us when we were at the market on August 9th and trying to get the message out. And really, it's a minimal to no cost approach for the police services, and that we talked about some signage. We're going to get some signs up in those communities, and the liaison officers and all volunteerism or auxiliaries are heavily involved in this program. And a great success story already out of this is when we were in the plenary stages of this, an idea came right after a search warrant was conducted in the Ravensdale street area, and the community, they said, when a search warrant happens, there's this gap in the community. Now the community really feels unsafe. They see tactical officers, they see drug officers, they see all this activity, and then the police leave, and it kind of leaves the community left unknowing. So what we've started is a new program where after such an event, we heavily invest with our auxiliary group and our special constables in the area, just assuring people that things are safe and things are back to normal, and not talking about the incident specific, but just engaging with the community. So we've done that PINE program, we call it. We've done that twice now with great results from our community.
Can you tell us the story of how this happened? You mentioned briefly that there was the town hall, which we all remember. How did this come out? And can you sort of roll out the story of how this all came about?
Yeah, you know, so we had our town hall meeting back in November. It was very well attended. There was a lot of desire for more and different things. But then some people in the group saw, hey, why don't we have Neighborhood Watch? So I kind of said, hey, that's an old program, much of what I said here. But then two people kind of grabbed this by the bull by the horns, if you will, and started to do some research and came back to us and said, hey, we think this would work. And truth be told, we looked at best practices in Ontario, and we landed on Chatham-Kent Police Service. And they have some very organically grown community wellness type neighborhood watches. So we had some teams meetings with the folks in Chatham-Kent, and we're continuing to do that. And it really just grew from that. And it took time, and we all got caught with busy schedules. But luckily, when a community is driven and committed to making this a success, they keep reminding me how important it is. So we kind of got going, and then we wanted to get a bunch of the work done. We got a bunch of the work done. So now we've launched the pilot August 9th, when we're at the farmer's market. And now they're out of the gate. So we're still working through the kinks, but we're really quite excited about communities taking care of communities.
What are people empowered to do? The people in the neighborhood, what are they empowered to do?
They're empowered to get to know their neighbors. They're empowered to create a group. One group is using social media. The other group is opting not to use social media and have more of a flyer kind of distribution, maybe phone numbers or texts. Empowered to get a group of people together, and then we'll engage with our liaison officers, and those officers will connect with them, and then we're going to get them their SEPTED audits, hopefully. And then as they have their meetings, our officers will attend, they'll share crime trends, they'll answer questions, they'll try to bring a broader connection. But most importantly, at this point, information sharing. We want to make sure the right information is being shared instead of misinformation or opinions. We want the real facts to be delivered to people, and to hear that in return, to hear back from people, such as when you guys do a search warrant and you leave, we feel vulnerable. What can we do to change that? So that was a great idea. Before the Neighborhood Watch was even kind of out of the gate, we had a great solution.
Sounds like education is a real pillar in this.
Yeah, it's information sharing, right? We all need to share information better and more often.
Will citizens be patrolling or walking around the neighborhood deliberately?
Yeah, what this is not is a citizens on patrol program. Again, something that has had good success, something that has worked in other communities. We are going to definitely walk before we run. We are going to use our eyes, and we're going to use what we see and hear versus our feet at this time. Again, if there's a local neighborhood watch that wanted to engage in a walk safe program or a run safe program or something to that effect, then we'd be happy to partner in those types of things. But we are not engaging in any shape or form of vigilantism, take back the street type things, or citizens on patrol at this time.
Will there be any difference in terms of police response because it's a neighborhood watch, the cops come faster or anything like
No,
that?
Yeah, no, it's what we would expect is to get better, more accurate information from the community in those monthly meetings. Everybody can expect a pretty remarkable response time in the town of Cobourg. Our response times are really, really good given the size and nature of our community. Yeah, nothing changes that way.
Now, how is it different than, say, anyone seeing something and then making a police call? How is this different?
It's only different in that what we're really doing is that within the neighborhood watch, we're focusing on what that neighborhood is seeing. So maybe in a particular neighborhood watch, they have a park. And in that park, they're starting to see an increase in vandalism, graffiti, or something like that. We may or may not know that. So this would, I hope, would give us better kind of information of the less priority stuff. And it just, again, I can't stress enough that organic recreation of community through a sign or through whatever opportunity exists, anytime we connect neighbors with neighbors, we're going to have a healthier community.
What has been the response of residents? Obviously, these people came forward to you and they were anxious to get something in place, but have you talked to anybody in the neighborhoods yet, or has anybody been opposed to it?
Yeah, no, what we were out at the market on August 9th. Again, I was there, our team was there. We were fleshing out what different people saw. Some people saw it as another Facebook group, and we had some people coming that were more concerned about a vigilantism or something to that effect. So we're able to dispel some of that, but we're really in the early phases. So there's been nothing but good questions, good opportunities, and great conversation around it. Yeah, there's always skeptics, and skepticism is actually valuable to make sure that we are meeting the mark. It's not good. It's not something that's going to work in every community, obviously, and not everybody within a neighborhood is going to want to participate, and that's okay too.
That was something I wanted to ask you about, is can you explain how citizen leaders recruit people or bring people into the program?
Again, it's not something that the police are doing, so this is something that's being driven from the community, right? So before we will necessarily call it a watch or create the signage and everything else, the expectation is a group of people in a particular neighborhood come together, they have a conversation about what it needs to look like. Like I said, we have two different watches in the pilot. One is using social media, the other is not. So the other one who's not using social media was door to door, it was knocking on doors, it was conversations around the dog walks and every nuance that a particular neighborhood would have. And then they're sharing information, and I suspect our team will be going out to a neighborhood watch meeting probably early part of September to talk about formalizing the structure in that community.
What is it like if someone who wants to support the watch program, but maybe limited in how they could participate? Maybe they're a senior, maybe they're a little bit nervous about this. How do they get integrated into it if they support it, but at the same time, they're a little bit hesitant?
Yeah, you know what? That's why if it's led by the community, so then if we had a person in a particular street was they like the idea, but they're nervous. And there's a lot of fraud and everything else that gets people a lot of concern, right? So again, we're relying on neighbors to do the work, and once they see the police in space going to the meetings, I hope that we can slowly bring those more hesitant folks along. And at the end of the day, maybe somebody's engaged in the watch for the sole purposes of receiving a newsletter or receiving some information, however that watch chooses to share it. And that's okay too. It's again, it's just for us looking for a concept of neighborhood watch is good neighbors working together in whatever fashion to make their neighborhood less attractive to criminals.
Is there an age requirement? I mean, can teens be involved? Can kids be involved? Is it like a family thing as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's whatever the neighborhood wants. Like if the neighborhood wants to do And when we were speaking with the folks in different communities and we were doing our exploration, sometimes these things evolve into a community yard sale. Sometimes they evolve into people getting together and raising funds for a charity, maybe like a Christmas sharing, whatever the version of that in community looks like. So there's all sorts of ways for families to get engaged, and really it's an opportunity for people to meet, to converse, to build trust through transparency, create a shared sense of ownership to their safety, and hopefully work towards feeling safer in space.
We mentioned a little bit earlier about the educational aspect of this program, and I'd like to just dig into that a little bit deeper. What do you hope people will learn through participating in the Neighborhood Watch?
A greater understanding of what the police service is and isn't. That's the first and foremost thing. So that's just having regular opportunities to talk to police or liaison officers. That simply the crime prevention through environmental design opportunity. So having these experienced, qualified, certified auditors come to your home and give you suggestions about some of the things you can do to make your house more secure, more safe. That's going to help increase the sense of safety. Maybe we're missing an opportunity from a greater community crime prevention through environmental design. So you have to understand that's, yes, it's house specific, but it also street specific. Maybe we're going to hear the lighting on a particular street isn't that good. So we can work with the town to say, hey, the lighting on any street needs to be different. Maybe the hedges have gotten really overgrown on public property as it approaches private property, and we can work with Public Works to try to do that kind of thing. So it's just really connecting those people to the right resources to make them feel safer.
In the past, there was a message delivered to the public around people's perception of how safe it is in Coburg. How does this program address those fears, and how does it make Coburg feel safer?
That's an individual thing, right? So if the community, if getting together in a neighborhood watch creates a community within community, and that has the advantageous effect of being making people feel more safe, then we're helping with that perception of safety. If we're see communities coming together under the moniker of a neighborhood watch sign, that should demonstrate that this community cares about one another. And that in itself, caring is safety, and we can continue to proffer that ideology that Coburg is a safe community. We have our problems. We have those few people who cause a lot of grief for the community, and we have the perception of what safety is or isn't. And this is just a multi-layered approach to really reinforce security and safety.
There are a number of social media sites focused on Coburg and crime. Is that not a form of neighborhood watch?
I'm not engaged in any of those. I can only speak to what I've been told. The sole purpose of a neighborhood watch, as this structure, this program is structured, is about safety. It's about security. It's about community. We're not engaging in hate. We're not engaging in finger pointing. We're not engaging in any of those things. What we're engaging is community neighbors helping neighbors. Those other Facebook accounts, I don't know what exists. And as you said earlier, Rob, there are a lot of these informal structures already in existence that are very healthy, very supportive. Very good that don't have a sign connected. And then there are some that are a fair amount of negativity associated to them. And we did hear that when we were at the market that some people were coming saying this is nothing more than the police supporting Crime Watch, Coburg, or whatever it's called. And no. Very, very different. Neighborhood Watch was in place in Ontario, in North America, well before the internet was invented, let alone social media.
You alluded to this earlier about the role of social media in delivering misinformation and disinformation regarding local crime. Will this program do anything to counter misperceptions or erroneous material circulating within the public?
Yeah, you know what? The intent is for that to happen, but it is a very, as you know, Rob, in your media years and experience, it is very different. It is very difficult to change a viral trend, if you will, be it on ink or however the format or the media. The message is just difficult to counteract. So all we can do is create opportunity to put positive, real, supported data in front of people, How people choose to consume it is up to them, and how they choose to interpret and put it in context is up to them as well. All we can do is put the truth out there, create opportunities for engagement, create opportunities for truth telling and tough questions and tougher answers at times.
But I just wonder, you were mentioning earlier that the one group is actually using social media as part of its toolbox to do its thing. And I just wonder, you know, if people are saying to themselves, well, where do I find good information? Where can I find, you know, quote unquote, the truth? I just wonder how social media in that context lines up against the other kinds of social media where it's kind of more open and people are kind of throwing up comments and it's sort of unregulated, if you will.
Yeah, I don't have the great details. I know Audrey could probably build it out for me, but I understand it's a private group and they have a set of norms and expectations of those by joining the group that you're agreeing to a set of norms and conditions. And I would assume that if those norms were contravened, then that person would be no longer welcomed in the group.
When you read various studies regarding community safety, Neighborhood Watch is combined with a grocery list of other initiatives such as volunteer service within the police department, citizen police academies, community service officers, community-based foot patrols, and so on. With all the programs and initiatives currently going on within the Cobourg Police, what is the combination that's currently underway here? How does all of these pieces fit together in terms of you as an organization doing this community-based policing?
Right. So the philosophy of any police service in Ontario specific and to with Cobourg as well is to be engaged with the community in any way, shape, or form, and it should be community-led. So if the community wasn't interested in Neighborhood Watch, then you're going to go to your point. You're going to go to your menu of other opportunities, right? We have our auxiliaries. We have our connections with Food Share. We have our the auxiliaries doing foot patrol. We have the Crammer Cruisers. We have the Identikid. We have the Shop with a Cop. We have all these other initiatives that are opportunities to engage with youth, to engage with seniors, the Brown Bag Lunches, all the presentations to the various service and senior groups. These are all different ways to engage with the community, to try to make sure that the community, that the police are the people and the people are the police. In today's environment, with social media, as we've spoken about, being as prevalent as it is, seeing this return, this community desire to return to this real community wellness thing is a really good thing, right? That's a healthy thing that our community is driving and asking for. So as the chief or as the police service, we're here to work with the community when it says, I think we would like to try this. And that's exactly what this is all about. And I don't know what's going to come next. We have MHART, which one would say is a crime prevention program. It's the police working with mental health experts in the same cruiser, addressing the root causes of crime based on mental health issues. So there, everything we do, road safety, we're ready to launch our back to school where we're going to be in the school zones. But before we do that, we do a whole education campaign. Our officers are in those school zones, giving those warning tickets saying, hey, next week you're going to get a ticket. Don't forget the kids are back in school. That's crime prevention. That's community engagement. Every time my folks do a foot patrol downtown, be it under the Safer Streets moniker, or be it under the Dynamic Patrol moniker, whatever the moniker they're under, that's engaging with the community. Yeah, they may have a singular focus. Maybe they're looking at ensuring that downtown is not being overrun with people who are loitering, or it's just people wandering and community officers on foot patrol. So there's everything that we can do to engage with the community in an important time.
There's lots of budgetary pressures these days. Is there a cost associated with the Neighborhood Watch program?
Like I said, the cost of the Neighborhood Watch so far has been, I believe, 12 signs. I shouldn't speak, but I hope the town's going to install them for free. And I'm sure they will. And that is the entire cost. We have some officers' time, but nothing else. There's no additional cost. Again, this is something that the community is the driving force on.
Right now, the focus is getting things up and running, and I appreciate that. But where would you like to see this program, say, a year from now?
I would love to see that, A, the two groups that we started with are still going, and they're still actioning, and they're able to look back to us and say, hey, we can attach ourselves to four success stories out of this. And that would be a great sign of success. And I would love to see a few more neighborhoods join on the path. So success for us, if we're going to measure it, would look like going back to the two communities in the pilot and saying, hey, we saw four things change for the positive in our community. And we would like to attribute those to the Neighborhood Watch and a couple new watches who have formulated in their space.
Once the pilot's over, how are you going to determine whether they carry on or not?
As long as the general feeling of community wellness and it can continue to be supported by the community, it will continue as long as the community supports it. It's not a police-run program, it's a community-run program with police support. So that's how we will know it is going to continue to be successful. When it is continually running, we'll obviously provide all of the support that we need, the sharing of information, the validity, adding validity to it so we can say this is different than that. But really, it's a success and ongoing support will be determined by the community itself.
How long do you want to see this run?
You know what? I've spoken about Neighborhood Watch since I've been in policing in 1991. So I hope somebody who's got 35 years sitting in the chair after me is still talking about it.
If people are interested in setting up one in their neighborhood, how do they go about it?
They can reach out to here. They can go right to our website, the www.cobrapolice.com. There's a whole page dedicated to Neighborhood Watch, and all the information is right on there of how to get started. And we got so much interest at the market. We are looking at nailing down an informational meeting for those, everybody who signed up, probably once we get the kids back to school, probably early September.
Chief Paul Vandegraaff, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks very much, Rob.
That was Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff.
I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.